Right, hello everyone, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute, but it's time to get excited because we know the Holy Spirit's presence, when He comes, He gives us life. Did you know that? Well, you may be saying, oh, I do have breath, so I must have life, but I'm talking about the spiritual life that He wants to instill in us. He's letting us know that we are full of the Spirit of Christ. Because that's what we believe. We believe in the Son of God. We believe that He suffered and He died for us so that we know we have abundant life. And, you know, we just look deep within our hearts, and if we're grateful to God, God says, I will bless you even more. If our hearts are truly for Him and living for Him. Amen? Amen. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we give You praise because You are mighty. You are mighty in this very place because our hearts are in line with Your Holy Spirit's voice. And as You speak to us, we know, Father, You're going to speak forth the life that we desire. No matter what we're going through in life, as long as we trust in You, as we believe in You, nothing is impossible. Because, Lord, it is You that gives us all we need to truly live victoriously. So, Father, I pray right now in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, as Your Spirit's presence abounds in this very place, we're going to let go of anything that is not of You. Any negative emotion, any negative desire, Father, we surrender it to You. Oh, just let Your presence just come forth. Let Your goodness just fill our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, let me take a look at your notes. Today, the title of my sermon is Embracing the Uncomfort Zone. I didn't say comfort zone now. I said uncomfort zone. Yeah, there's no typo there. It's supposed to be uncomfort. But you know, I got to tell you, every year about this time, did you know Costco, they have a demonstration of massage chairs that always tempts you to try it out every time you pass by it. It's usually towards the front of the store, and it seems like it's calling out your name. Man, come and try me out. And you know, I remember one time I tried it out for half an hour, and it was so good. I mean, it just needed the muscles in a way that, oh, you just felt so relaxed. I know some of you are going to go to Costco right after this, right? But, you know, I remember after, you know, I'm done with it, guess what? The salesperson is right there. Hey, guess what? This chair is only $4,000. $4,000? Wow! and he tells me, you know, imagine for your health, for distressing yourself, isn't it worth it? And I go, not for $4,000, you know, but he showed me this one feature on the remote, which was called the comfort zone. And what you do is you pre-program it so that you get the exact pressure that you want, the style of massage, whether it be Swedish or Shiatsu, and you get the right amount of heat that you want. You set it all however long you want, a certain style or whatever, and you can even pinpoint an exact location where you want extra attention, where it'll be right in your neck muscles. And it feels so good. And you just a press of the button, the comfort zone button, and you are in massage heaven. And you know, we as Christians, we also have our comfort zones, don't we? You know, when we are in them, we're more likely to relax and be satisfied with the way things are. You know, things like style of worship. I know some people, some Christians, they tell me, oh, pastor, I can't come to your church because I'm used to more the traditional, you know, singing from the hymnal book type of songs. And I can't get used to the more contemporary type of Christian worship. Or it could be that some people, they just like to listen to the pastor preach mellow sermons. You know, like sermons where you really get touched by the Holy Spirit, you know, knowing that it's the Word that will give you instruction. But some people, they like the fiery hell and brimstone types of sermons. That's the kind of sermons I like to hear. I fall asleep, someone told me, if I listen to a pastor just preach monotone. Say, I gotta have life in the sermons. But you know, here's the thing. when things start to happen outside of our comfort zone, you know, some of us, we totally get bent out of shape. We say, no, I can't have that. No, I might have to find another church. And I hear that sometimes, even the churches I've been to, just the littlest things, even the decor. They say, oh, it's not modern enough for me. Maybe I have to go to another church. Can you imagine that? Is that the reason why we go to church? Is to please ourselves so that our senses can be overloaded? But you know, the danger of protecting our comfort zone is that we can grow complacent and self-satisfied. It becomes about me, myself, and I. Instead, it should be pointing towards God and towards your brothers and sisters, your brethren. Because, you know, when that happens, do you know we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Because we are in danger of becoming like the church of Laodicea. You heard of that church, right? It's found in the book of Revelation 3:16, and they are told by Jesus, so because you are what? Lukewarm. You're neither hot and you're neither cold. And what does Jesus say I'm going to do? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Patui, Jesus would say. Because you're neither hot, you're neither cold. If you're off for the Lord, you got to be on fire for the Lord and say, whatever it takes. It doesn't matter if you're comfortable or not. It's not about being comfortable. And you know, a man by the name of Jabez, in the book of 1 Chronicles 4, he prayed a prayer that will lead to the avoidance of such a calamity. Because you heard of Bruce Wilkinson, right? He's this Christian author who was very popular in the late 1990s. And he wrote this popular book about the prayer of Jabez. And that's what the title of the book was, The Prayer of Jabez. You probably heard of it, right? It sold millions. I'm talking about millions upon millions of books. But let's observe a few things about Jabez first. You got to understand, Jabez's name stood out from among those who were not, I say not, significant. You know, he's in the list of genealogies, you know, like so forth, begat, you know, who, and, you know, he's in this list. But other than that, other than what we find here in 1 Chronicles 4, this is the only mention of Jabez. You got to understand, Jabez was not a prophet or a teacher or a preacher. He was not a wise ruler over a great nation. And he was not famous on the field of battle. You know what he was remembered for? His prayer. And that's where we take notice, right? That's why we buy the book, because someone said, oh, when you pray this prayer, oh, good things will happen. Because guess what? Jabez prayed his prayer. And did things happen? Well, let's find out. Let's look in your notes, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. It says here, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Okay, who wants to have a name like Jabez right now? Oh, yeah, my mother named me because I gave pain to her. And it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, say, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not, what? Cause pain. So, look what it says in the last line. So God granted him what he requested. Wow. So let's go over what Jabez prayed for. What exactly did he pray for? Well, number one here, it says he prayed for spiritual prosperity. He prayed for spiritual prosperity. Oh, that you would bless me. That's what he says. And you know, you got to understand, Jabez was not satisfied with the status quo. You know what status quo means? What? The usual, right? The existing state of something. And, you know, he wasn't satisfied. Because a lot of us, we may sometimes say, you know what? Good enough. And we go through life saying, good enough. You know, whether it be in ministry, work, whatever it is, good enough. As long as I don't get stressed, good enough. You know, and we're not willing to excel. Whereas the Spirit of the Lord, if He's truly in you, you always want to give your best unto the Lord. No matter what it is, because you're doing it unto the Lord. You got to say, I'm going to give my best to you, Lord. And just imagine, every day if we have this kind of attitude, you're going to see how everything will just come into play. You're going to be so blessed because your boss will love you, your family will love you, your co-workers will love you, because you know what? You're always giving your best. We can't settle just for the status quo. We gotta reach above and beyond for the stars that God wants us to grab. Amen? And you go for it knowing it's the power of God that will enable you, because your heart is set upon the Lord. And so, what Jabez wanted was, he wanted God's richest blessings upon his life. And he recognized what was most important in his life. What was it? God's blessings. And we're not talking about money, fame, or possessions here. Though they may come, right? God can bring those things too. But we are talking about seeking God's best for our lives. It's saying, no matter what, Lord, I want your best. It means that we are willing to wait upon the Lord for his best to come. Because some people, they're not willing to wait. They want it right now. But sometimes the Lord says, no, wait on me, because I'm showing you what it means to be patient. I'm developing character in you. Wait upon me, and you will know that I will be your provider. So we must wait upon the Lord. It also means that we must not lean on our own understanding. If we know that God is leading us to his best, we must follow, even if it doesn't make sense. Yes, even if it doesn't make sense. You may say, why, Lord? Why do I have to go to this path? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it's going to get better if I go there. But the Lord says, I'm the one who's leading here. Do you trust me enough that if I put this in your heart to do this, I will bring forth the fruit? I'm the one that will bring forth the blessing. It's not by your own works. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. So we must trust God and say, Lord, whatever you ask, I will do it. And you will see hope, just the power of God come forth. And you know, sometimes God's blessings may already be so abundant in our lives that we don't even know it. Did you know that? Sometimes we just forget to take a look around and realize, hey, I am truly blessed. Because sometimes we may say, oh, I got nothing from God. And I just sometimes tell people, just take a look around you. Do you have food on the table? Do you have the basic necessities? Praise God for those things. You are truly blessed. You know, but like Jabez, we must believe and trust that God's blessings will come even when it seems like everyone else around us is lacking. Yes, even when it seems like the world is falling apart, realize that God never leaves you. God never forsakes you. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 31, 1-3. It says here, in that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings, where? Even in the barren land, for I will give rest to the people of Israel. And we got to realize, you know, even when it seems like the land is barren, if your heart is set upon God, you're trusting in God. Do you think God says, well, everyone else is suffering, so I guess you will have nothing too? No, your heart is set upon God. You say you trust God. God says, even in the barrenness, I will provide for you, so people will know that I am your God. That's what it's all about. Even realizing in the storms, you're holding on to God. People take notice. They say, why are you trusting in God? Look at your situation. But you say, no, I know my God will provide. And you just watch what God will do. He will show his mighty hand coming upon your life and giving you exactly what you need. God does not disappoint. Amen, brothers and sisters? Amen. He never disappoints. He will always see you through whatever you're going through. You know, CBS News, they recently reported on the story of a man. His name is Max Meltzer. And he's a 65-year-old man who had been homeless for decades in the Salt Lake City area. Max and his brother lost touch with one another many, many years ago. But in 2010, his brother died and left him $100,000. You know, the family hired a private investigator to look for Max. And after a year after his brother's death, following a two-month search, they found him in a Salt Lake City park. You know, the investigator told him the good news. He told Max, guess what? You got $100,000 from your brother. And right after that, he took him out for a seafood dinner. And for a whole year, Max wandered around Salt Lake City as a homeless rich man. His needs were met, but he didn't even know it. The investigator who found him, he wasn't the one that made him rich. He already was, but he didn't know it. The private investigator gave him the good news. He spoke the truth, and the truth he needed to receive his inheritance. Because Max did not know what already belonged to him, he missed approximately 365 good night's sleep, probably over 1,000 good meals, and perhaps 365 hot showers. The whole point of what I'm trying to say here is, how many believers walk around seemingly unfamiliar with all that they possess in Christ? Because if you say you're a Christian, know that the Holy Spirit of God resides in you. It's Jesus Christ that is in your heart. You know, instead of rest and peace, people, they live anxiously. They say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Yet, they're pacing around worrying. And instead of joy and meaning, they live with emptiness. I hear so many Christians telling me, Pastor, I just feel so empty inside, like I'm all alone, that I have nothing to live for. I asked him, you're a believer, right? He said, yes, I am. Well, you're not empty. God says he has entered in, and he says and promises he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So you're never empty. It's us that believes that, because probably that lie comes from where? The devil. Saying no one loves you. God doesn't love you. But the reality is, we know as believers, God is in us. And it's just, he's just a cry away. Sometimes you just cry out the name of Jesus, and his presence just comes and fills you up. And we realize this is the truth of what the gospel tells us. He is there for us. He'll never, ever leave you because he loves you that much. And for these people, sometimes instead of the assurance of love, they live with shame. And they just say, you know what, I'm just too ashamed, you know, about my past, of what has happened to me. And you know what, that's why no one loves me, not even God. I said, no, don't be ashamed. You know what? The Bible tells us God has forgotten your past. When you have repented, you confessed of your sins, God's forgotten about it. God says, I have a new road ahead of you. Stop looking back. Start looking forward to the things that God has for you. And God says, I will bring it. Because you know what? God has a reputation to keep too. Because God made a lot of promises, and we know every promise will come forth as we believe in it. And as people see it happening in your life, guess what? They're going to say, hey, tell me more about your God. Because I need a transforming touch from your God too, because my life isn't going the way I want it. So that's what it's all about. You got to step out in faith and believe. Because you know, the world is full of people like Max. People that are wealthy in Christ beyond imagination. But they're walking around in spiritual poverty. They're already filled with so many blessings of God in their lives. They're filled with Christ. And the Bible tells us if you have the fullness of Christ in you, Jesus is the head and authority over every power in this entire universe. There's nothing above God. So why are you worrying, brothers and sisters? Knowing God says, I am here. No one is above me. Because the devil will say, oh, okay, I'm going to try to make your life miserable. I'm going to try to wreak havoc in your life. Boy, say, you know what? God is my head. He's my authority. I don't fear you, devil, in Jesus' name. Because I know my God, he provides for all my needs. He supplies all my needs. And when you have that kind of heart, the devil, he's going to leave you alone. Because he's going to say, oh, this truly is a child of God, a true child of God. I'm just wasting my time trying to bring forth death and destruction in this person's life. No, I'm trusting that, or the person is saying, I'm trusting that God will be for me. There's nothing that can come against me. And that's what we got to do, brothers and sisters. We got to have that kind of faith to believe that God, he will do it all if we simply trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
Look what it says here in James 2:5. It says here, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in what? Faith. And to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world? Because in the world, we see, based on social status, whatever it is, we look upon people based upon our physical eyes as whether they're poor or rich. But God says He's chosen for those that have been seen as being poor, according to what the world sees. They are rich in faith. And you know, that's where it tells us also that they are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of God. And we got to realize we are not to judge others. And we are to realize that if we are poor in spirit, God says He will strengthen us. His strength will come. His power will come. You don't have to rely on your own strength. God says, I will give you all you need to live victoriously. Amen? Well, number two here, he says, Jabez, he prayed for widened horizons. And his exact words were, enlarge my territory. And the King James Version says, actually, enlarge my coast. And Jabez, he didn't want to stay in the comfort zone like many of us Christians, where we just feel like we're just going to kick back and relax and let everyone else, you know, do the work of God. And I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you, I was there. I always tell myself, oh, I'll just sit in the back row, I'll just go Sunday church, and you know what? Everybody else can do the hard work. Hey, this is good enough. Just the very fact that I'm here on a Sunday morning, hey, God should be pleased with me. And I realized, man, I didn't really have a solid relationship with God. Because it only seemed I only go to God when I needed something. I'd be honest, my brother, he always set me straight. Said, Ben, you got to learn to love God more. And I tell you the truth, I didn't like hearing that from him, but I'm glad he set me straight. It's not when I started serving, when I started giving my life, pouring my life out on others. That's when the presence of God came. That's when the joy of the Lord just filled my heart. It's when I started giving my life to Jesus. I said, I don't want to be comfortable. Lord, I want to give my life to you, whatever it takes. Because the word enlarge means simply to make larger, to extend in limits or dimensions, to extend to more purposes or uses. And the word coast or territory here is used to refer to boundaries and borders. And Jabez's desire was to reach out beyond himself to expand his sphere of influence. He wanted to go above and beyond himself. He knew that there are some things he couldn't do. Some things that he knew that, oh man, I can't do these things. I'm going to feel uncomfortable. But he says, no, I'm going to extend beyond that. Lord, will you enlarge my territory? Because I know you will work through me. And you can only imagine, that was the cry of his heart. Saying, Lord, I'm trusting that you can do it through me. You know, you probably remember this hit television show in the 1970s, Mission Impossible. You know, there's also a modern movie version with Tom Cruise, right? You probably watch. I think there's, what, three of them, or I'm not sure. I never watched any of them, but I remember I watched this television show. But usually in the beginning of a show, a man goes into a dark room and he listens to a recording, right? And the recording describes a secret mission that he chooses to accept or not. He doesn't have to take it. He says, whether you choose to accept it or not. That's what the recording says. But, you know, it's kind of funny because I've never seen a show where he says, no, I'm not going to take it. I'm too afraid. No, he always says, I'm ready, right? He goes, okay. And then you hear the music. And then you just feel like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, I don't have to go on. But you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? Then the recording says, okay, this recording will now self-destruct in 10 seconds. And then it goes up in smoke, right? And you know, we watch this show and we admire this man for accepting this mission and all the risks that go along with it. Because he knows there are risks. His life may be taken away from him. But he says, no, I'm going for it. Can we as Christians say, I'm going for it, Lord? It doesn't make sense. Oh, I don't know where this will take me, Lord, but I'm trusting in you. Lord, send me. Because you know, the truth is that sometimes we may envy this man because he's willing to live his life on the edge and he's willing to seize that adventure. He's willing to say, I'm going for it. He's willing to take risks so that he can be the hero who saves the people's lives from the enemy. And the truth is that each of us here today can do the same for the Lord and for all the people around you in our community. And I know we're going to be moving in a couple weeks. And you know, our hearts are set upon not just the people there, but everywhere we go. You know, we want to reach people for Christ. But we know there's a community out there that is unchurched. And we're going to bring the good news of the gospel of Christ so that they will know that Jesus Christ loves them, that there is hope for them in the world, because so many people who are depressed and down, they will tell you, I feel like I don't have any hope in my life. It seems like the whole world is sinking. And we tell them, No, you got God. You got the goodness of God in your life. Oh, you got an awesome life ahead of you. We got to tell them that Jesus Christ is for them. Jesus is not against them. Because that's what a lot of people believe. And when they're bitter, they say, oh, God doesn't love me. No, we go there and say, God loves you more than you shall ever know. And we got to be willing to take the risk and accept the mission. We got to get out of our comfort zones. You may say, oh, but I don't like to talk. Well, guess what? I said the same thing. Look at me. You think it's me that is doing all this? No. It's the Holy Spirit of God in me. Because I am so passionate about the Word of God. That as soon as I step up here, I know the Holy Spirit fills me up. Suddenly, I open my mouth and His words come out. And that's what it takes for all of us. Getting out of our comfort zone. And say, Lord, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be afraid because you are with me. And then we get in the heart of serving the Lord through the adventure, knowing it is an adventure. Because you know what? Sometimes we go into a place we're not too familiar with, just like this new church. You know, we can say, oh, but what's going to happen? What if this happened? What happens this and that and all that? Right? Well, we've got to stop doing that and say, Lord, I trust in you with my whole heart. And just say, Lord, take me. Simple as that. Lord, take me there. And God, do you think He'll take you far? You better believe it. He's going to show you who He is. And you're going to grow even deeper in love with Him as He guides you and directs you into this new adventure that we are about to embark in. Amen? Well, look what it says here in Hebrews 11:6. This is a very familiar verse. I'm sure you know it. It says here, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you're not willing to get out of your comfort zone, guess what? You never get to that point of pleasing Him. Because that's what faith is. Sometimes you got to say, I'm willing to step out of my comfort box. It may be a little scary. Yeah? That's okay. God says, I'll show you who I am. In your fear, I'll show you who I am. And you can be honest with Him. You can say, I'm a little afraid here, Lord. And God says, okay, I'm going to cover you. I'm your Abba Father. Don't worry, child. Just do as I say, and I'll get you. Very far. It's up to us. Are we going to say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to have any anxiety about what's ahead. You know, I have here in my pocket, what is this? A rubber band. And, you know, rubber band, what purpose is a rubber band for? To what? Hold things together? Please can stretch for it. Let's see. Wow. Okay. Well, you can see, if I were to put it over my folder there, it can hold my folder in place. Okay, I hope it doesn't snap here. Imagine. Okay, they don't want that to happen. Okay, but it was made for one purpose, right? The purpose is that it is stretched so it can hold something together. See, look at my folder. It's held in place, or somewhat held in place anyway. But here's the thing, if it isn't stretched, right? Let's just take this thing off. I just throw it in the ground right there. And it just stays there. It doesn't do anything, it just stays there, right? Is it fulfilling its purpose for what it's made for? No. No. It just stays there. It's not fulfilling its purpose. You got to understand, as Christians, we were made to be stretched. We were put on this earth to be doers of the Word of God. And sometimes we got to be stretched. We got to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Because when you say whatever it takes, Lord, guess what? You're going to be stretched. You're going to be taken out of your comfort zone. Oh, Lord, oh, that hurts a little bit. Oh. But the Lord says, believe in me. Child, I'm for you. You may be a little bit fearful. Don't worry. I'm here. I will work through you. And we got to believe that. We got to be willing to be stretched. Because to do that, to be doers of the word, we got to be willing to be stretched to the point where we say, Lord, I'm trusting that I will not snap. it will go beyond what I can handle. No, God says, I won't allow that. I know what's going on. You trust in me, I will only allow you to be stretched to a certain limit. He doesn't want us to break, that's why. Because it can break, right? If you stretch it too far. Because we got to get out of our everlasting comfort zone so that we can really be effective. I got to tell you, this is the only way we're going to be effective Christians. We got to get out of our comfort zones. And you know, one of the hardest things for us to do is to get out of our comfort zones and to be effective for God, we must do it. I got to tell you, I never seen anywhere in the Bible that says God wants us to be all comfortable and cozy. You guys know any scripture? They say, oh, just relax, relax, relax. Does the Bible say that? Just be a total coziness. No. And I never heard anywhere where the Bible says, oh, he really wants us to have it easy and smooth. Smooth sailing all the way throughout your whole life. You know, God says he wants us to have peace, but you know what? God calls us. He gave us a great commission to go out and preach the good news of the gospel of Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have work to do, brothers and sisters. A world that is so lost, we must tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way that when you are stretched like that, you're going to experience more and more God. You're going to experience God's power coming forth in your life. Because if you don't do it, you don't do anything for the Lord, you're not going to experience his power. That's the honest truth. So when we start going out, we be bold. If you see someone hurting in the church, a newcomer comes. Hey, brother, hey, sister, can I pray for you? It looks like you're going through some difficulties. And I'll be honest, I had a hard time doing that in the beginning. But the more I did it, oh, the more I was filled up. It seemed like the more I was willing to give the love of the Lord, it seems like I was never depleted of God's love. Every time God knew I was giving away his love, God just comes in and just says, okay, man, I'm giving you more of my love. As you give away my love to others, I'm going to keep on filling you up. And I go, oh, Lord, thank you. And I keep on going that way. And we must do it. To get out of our comfort zone, we must do it. Amen? And you're going to see the fruit. You're going to see how lives are going to change because you're willing to do the very work of God. Amen?
Amen.
Number three here, it says here, Jabez prayed that the hand of God would be with him. He prayed that the hand of God would be with him. And that was his exact prayer, that your hand would be with me. You know, the Hebrew word that is used here is one for an open hand. When we talk about a hand, it's not a closed hand. God wouldn't say, okay, here. If I went up like that to you, Augustine, well, you give me a fist bump. But what if I go like, you know, you would say, hey, what you doing, Pastor? Are you crazy or what? Right? But the thing is, no, it says here in the Hebrew word, when it says hand there, it's an open hand. And an open hand, it indicates power, it indicates means, it indicates direction. It says, okay, take my hand. I'll get you there. That's what God is saying. He gives us an open hand. And Jabez prayed that God's open hand of direction and power would be with him. Isn't it comforting to know that God is there with an open hand, just right in front of us? You know, he's willing to take our hands when we are feeling down. He's going to lift us up when we are a little depressed. When we're feeling a little discouraged, he says, my hand is here. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to strengthen you so that we can continue to do the kingdom's work together.
That's what he does. He gives us an open hand. He says, come on, child, take my hand. Take my hand. I'll get you there. And you look what it says here in Proverbs 16:9. It says here, in their heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And I know you probably heard of this verse before, because in our hearts, right, we say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. I know that this is what God wants. And you just keep on, you know, making all these plans. But you know what? Sometimes we can get ahead of God. And God says, okay, I know you want to do all these things for me, child, but know that I'm still directing your steps. I'm still the one that is in control, not you. Because when we do that, we get ahead of God. We're going to start doing it our way, aren't we? And think of it this way. You probably heard of this illustration. I used this before. Think of the word guidance. How do you spell guidance? G-U-I-D-A-N-C-E. And I remember this one pastor, he used this as an illustration. And it was really good when I heard it. But think about it this way. G stands for God. God, you, I, right? God, you and I dance. Whatever it is, the waltz or the foxtrot. No, but you just dance with the Lord. That's what God's guidance is. He's dancing with you. And he's going to give you beautiful music to dance with. If you trust in him, you dance with him like this. And you say, Lord, I need your guidance. Show me what I must do. Guess what? He's going to take your hand. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. And we must not be the one to take the lead. Because usually it's the man that takes the lead, right? In this kind of dance. But we got to realize God is the one who is leading, not you. Because if you're going to say, but Lord, I don't want to go there. And then the Lord says, no, you must go there so you'll be blessed. Oh, I want to go this way. And you, guess what? You start stepping on the Lord's toes. Because you know what? You're trying to do it your way. But God says, I'm trying to guide you here, child. Let me do the lead. And then when you say, okay, Lord, I submit. I submit to you. And then suddenly, what a beautiful dance. You're dancing with the Lord. He's guiding you. He's showing you where you must go so that there will be much fruit to be born. We must not fight with the Lord, because sometimes we think, oh, but isn't this way better? But the Lord says, no, this is my best. You want the better way or you want the best, God's best? And we must say, yes, Lord, I want your best. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in him. And he will provide above and beyond what you could ever imagine. Amen?
Amen.
I'm preaching myself happy here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Like how Pastor John Bevere says, right? Oh, preaching myself happy. Well, number four here, he says, he prayed for deliverance from sin. In the exact words of Jabez, he says, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And from this, you can see that Jabez was aware of the power of evil and the fact that God was the only one that he could deliver him. Because Jabez probably knew that sin could easily prevent him from having a lasting, loving relationship with God. Because it says here, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. And you can just only imagine what kind of pain he probably caused his family. Well, we know, you know, at birth, right, his mom caught him Jabez because of the pain that, you know, he gave her, right? But imagine whatever else it was, you know. Imagine the hurt that he probably put upon his family and his friends. And he said, Lord, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to cause people pain in their lives. And you can sense as you read that, right? You can't hear him saying it, but I remember reading that for the first time. I only could sense that deep remorse. Did you kind of feel that? That deep remorse of sin in his life, and that he was in need of God's help for deliverance of his sinful desires. I know I felt it. I go, oh man, I can really sense his pain, that he doesn't want to have this sin just take a hold of his life anymore. And you look at what it says in Isaiah 59:2 in your notes. It says here, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen to you anymore. Wow. And that's the reality of what can happen if we keep on sinning and have no remorse. Because if we as believers know that we sin, we make it right with God, don't we? But for the person who doesn't know God, or even for a person that knows God, sometimes they choose not to repent. They say, oh, you know I'm sinning, but it's okay. I talk to a lot of people. They say to me, they say, Pastor, I know what I'm doing is sin, but I can't help myself. Well, I say, I'm sorry, brother or sister. Then you will truly never experience the power and the love of God in its deepest and fullest form. You must be willing to surrender. You got to give up. You got to say, Lord, help me. Just like Jabez, he's saying, Lord, oh, that I may not sin anymore. You got to go to him with such remorse and say, Lord, help me to not partake of it anymore. Because, you know, when we realize that sin is something that can truly destroy our lives, it can, right? We know that it only gets worse because the devil is right there trying to tell you, oh, there's another thing that you can do. In addition to your sin that you're engaging in, here's something else that you're really going to feel good about. And guess what? It keeps adding on. That's one thing. One sin will lead to another. Just remember I preached about that, the domino effect of sin. One sin will just lead to another. So we got to say, Lord, cut it off, Lord. Cut it off, Lord. I don't want it anymore. And that's where we got to stand out. And we realize even in our world, you know, so many bad choices are being made for us because we live in a society where, guess what, leaders and politicians, they're making decisions for us. And it goes, a lot of what they are trying to bring forth, it goes against our Christian values. I got to tell you about this man. His name is Joel Wright, and he's the pastor of Central Christian Church in Wichita, Kansas. And on January 23rd, 1996, he was asked to be the guest chaplain of the Kansas State House of the Legislature in Topeka. And you know what? He prayed a prayer of repentance that was written by a pastor named Bob Russell. And he was pastor of the Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And according to an article in the Kansas City Star from January 24, 1996, the article wrote that, oh man, this pastor stirred such controversy. It was so uncomfortable for a lot of the members that he said even one member walked out and was even, you know, kind of fuming and was really upset. And, you know, others really heavily criticized this prayer. You guys want to hear this prayer? Want to hear what he prayed? Because, you know, even this man named Paul Harvey, he's a Christian commentator, he got a hold of the prayer and he read it on his program. And he got more requests for these copies than any other thing he has ever done. Here's what the pastor prayed. Just listen to this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have pulled the airwaves with profanity and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. And he says, search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you. You to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. Amen. Is that a powerful prayer or what?
Yep.
Doesn't it sound like Jabez's prayer? He said, Lord, oh that I may not sin. I'm disgusted with sin. And he was saying he's included in this. Even though he's probably the one, like us, we're trying to stand against all these things that the world is trying to bring forth. But you know what? He says, we're all in it. We got to make sure we got to do our part. Because sometimes when we don't do anything, it's just as good as saying, you know what? I support what they believe. We got to rise up. Get out of our comfort zone and say, Lord, send me. Lord, I want to do it. Because when we are able to pray this type of honest and heartfelt prayer to God, we know that God not only hears us, He's pleased with us. And guess what? God, He will answer with great blessings. Because we're willing to stand above. Everyone else that says, no, I don't need to do anything. We're going to say, no, I'm the one, Lord. Send me. And you know, at the end of Jabez's prayer, it says that God what? Did He ignore his prayer? No, he says he answered his prayers. And that means God gave what Jabez asked for. He granted his requests. And in conclusion, we got to ask ourselves individually, are we satisfied staying in our comfort zones? Say, oh, I'll just do like everybody else. I don't have to, you know, step up or step out. No, I'll just stay right where I am. Because, you know, there's a great feeling of safety staying within the boundaries that we know and love. Because, you know, if you guys have a lazy boy, I know what it is to have a lazy boy. I remember when I was living with my mom and dad, my dad had a favorite lazy boy, and sometimes we would fight over it. Because it's so comfortable, you would recline your legs, go, you know, and you feel so great. And sometimes you just want to stay there. Say, okay, I don't really have to do anything. There's other people that can do it. And that's why it's called a comfort zone, right? Because you're comfortable. Are we willing to get out of our comfort zone? Because sometimes if we stay in our comfort zone, we're going to grow complacent. And a good definition of complacent is happy when you're happy doing nothing significant. Because you know what? You can be doing something, right, when you're complacent. But you know what? You're not doing anything significant. Anything that is of eternal value. We got to step out and say, Lord, I know I don't have time. Lord, I know it's hard for me to do this. But Lord, I'm willing. Help me, Lord, to do more for you. Because from what we learned from the prayer of Jabez, we got to rise up to the challenge. We got to say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Send me. Just like the prophet Isaiah. Lord, I'll do it. You got to raise your hand when the Lord says, okay, I got a task. Are we the first one to go, that's me? Or are we the ones that go, the brother over there will do it? Or are we going to say, here I am, Lord. Oh, let me do it. Let me do it. Say, you know what? You're going to please the Lord so much. This kind of heart, this kind of ambition. Because as a church, are we satisfied to stay within our comfort zone? We all know we're going to be moving in a couple of weeks. Brothers and sisters, we got a lot of work to do. A lot of souls to reach. And we got to say, it's not about ourselves. It's not about being comfortable. Because if you think that's what it is, well, that's your reward. You're going to be comfortable. But if you want to see great fruit being born in the kingdom of God, let's rise up. Let's rise up and say, Lord, I'll do it. We got to receive the challenge right now to ask God for more. Not that we may be lifted up in pride, that God may be glorified. That's what it's all about. We want to glorify God. It means more ministries, more workers, more fruit, more work to do in the kingdom's glory. And we're going to see lives being transformed. When we have this kind of heart, imagine every one of us here had this kind of heart. Oh, we're going to do so much for the Lord. We're going to see one life after the other being changed, being transformed because they see our passion. They realize that our God is so real. We must go with this kind of passion. Go with this kind of heart. We must pray that God would truly bless us with great spiritual prosperity, that He would really widen our horizons, that His hand would be upon us, and that He would keep us from evil. I think if we continue to do like what the prayer of Jabez, what he asked for, if we were to just continually ask God for this every day, I tell you, if you really mean it from your heart, man, I can't even imagine what's going to happen. Oh man, can you just imagine? Just at the doors, people are just wanting to come in. They can't wait to come in the doors because they want to hear the word of God. Can you imagine that? I can picture it. Can you picture it? Because it's not about us. It's about Him. Imagine people saying, I want to hear the word. I want to hear the word. Let me in, please. And well, come on in. What you waiting for? Right? Come on in. Because that's what it's all about. And know that God, He will grant our requests. Because when we can truly embrace being in the uncomfort zone, not the comfort zone now, we're going to start to grumble and complain less. We're not going to say, oh, but I want the drapes to be this, or I don't want, the, you know, like I heard this in other churches, you know, say, oh, but I don't like the painting, the color on the wall, let's change it. And, you know, who cares really about that? I mean, it's nice, it looks nice, right? But it's not of the importance. That's not eternal value. We got to remember it's about people, how we can touch their hearts. So we're going to stop complaining, we're going to stop grumbling, and realize we are truly blessed. We just take a look around. I want to conclude by telling you, or reading to you this poem that was written by this Confederate soldier. He was anonymous. We don't know who he is, but somehow someone got a hold of it, and it's been popular. I know it's been read a lot in other pastor sermons. I want to read it to you right now. Just listen to what this Confederate soldier says here. He says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. And the soldier concluded, almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, are richly, most richly blessed. Wow. That's what we got to realize. That we truly are richly blessed. That God has given us the mission. And as we go forth, you just watch what will happen. God, He's going to show Himself strong. I believe this, brothers and sisters. I'm so excited about the move we're going to make. Because I know God, He gives us His word. I know He's spoken to a lot of us within this church body through His scripture. And there's one confirmation after the other that we are to move forward. And I tell you, there are times I'm just like, Lord, really? We're going to move? And the Lord just tells me, yeah, if you trust in me, how can I say no to that? And if we're willing to step out of our comfort zone, I tell you, every single one of us in here, we're going to experience the power and blessings of God. I want to conclude by showing you this video that will inspire us to get out of our comfort zone and do what He calls us to do. Arthur, could you please play that video?
Jesus, I am so excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you, so let's get started. What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we're going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want? $50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. You drive a hard bargain. Okay, but,
you might not want to catch this till
next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay, you know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, Kat. The problem is, you're too comfortable.
The question is, have we grown too comfortable? Because I gotta tell you, the Lord will ask us to do a lot of things. I just know it. We're gonna be workmen and women unto the Lord. You gotta have that mentality. It's not about being comfortable anymore, right, brother? It's to say, Lord, send me. I'm ready to do some major, serious kingdom work. If you all are on board, I tell you, you'll be so richly blessed. Because God's going to fill you up, overflowing of His goodness. You won't grow weary if you keep your mind, your heart set upon God. God's going to take us far. You're going to be stretched. But you know what? It may be a little bit painful, I have to tell you, but you know what? You're going to be so stretched. You're going to just be so on fire for the Lord. You're just going to see one blessing, one miracle just take place. Boom! Boom! Miracle! Blessing! Blessing! Miracle! Blessing! Miracle! Boom! It's just going to keep coming as we keep doing what the Lord asks us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father God, truly, we know, Father, we are ready. Oh, Lord, on this mission you called us to be on. And Father, we know, Lord, we're not going to let fear or doubt or anxiety just come into the picture. Father, we're trusting in you. I know, Lord, you revealed to us in Scripture. You showed us just through revelation, through even dreams, Lord, that this is what you want us to do. Let us not question it, Lord. Let's just say, Lord, you led us to this. We're trusting, we're believing. Father, bring it. Bring it, Lord. Because our hearts are ready, our spirits are ready. Father, let it be all you. So that everyone can truly see that our Father God is on the throne. That He is truly the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is our God Almighty. And right now, in your heart, you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. And He may have called you to do something that requires you to step out of your comfort zone. But you haven't been willing to take that next step because you were afraid. But if you know now that the Lord is saying, come, I got an open hand right in front of you. Let me take you there. Just trust in me. If you believe that the Lord is stretching His hand out to you, and you're saying, Lord, I want to go. Take me out of my comfort zone and lead me to where you want me to go. And I want to serve you all the days of my life. I want to serve you with all of my heart. And if that's truly the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, I am the one that wants to go. Can you raise your hand right now and say that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else, raise your hand up high and say, Lord, that's me. Send me, Father. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. I praise you, Lord, knowing, Father, that is your word. It is your word that gives us life. It is your word that spurs us on to do greater and greater things. We don't want to just be in the status quo. No way, Lord. We want to rise up in our spirits and say, Lord, whatever you ask. It's not about being comfortable anymore, because kingdoms work. We got to get our feet dirty. We got to say, Lord, I'm gone. Because, Lord, I know, Lord, there's so many people out there that are so lost. So many people that just want to give up in their lives. So many people that even want to take their lives. Oh, Father, as we go forth, will you just empower us, strengthen us, Lord. Let your Spirit's presence just abound as we go out into the community, Father. We pray, Lord, many hearts will be reached for you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that have raised their hands. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's presence and power will just come and fill them up right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, as they have accepted the mission, I pray, Lord, they will go forth and do great kingdom's work until the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord. Now, for some of you, maybe saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to do things my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. I just pray, Father, as their hearts are being tugged right now, as your Holy Spirit is counseling them, that they will say, yes, Lord, I submit to you. I'm going to resist the devil and all the world's ways. I'm going to choose to live for you. And if that's the cry of your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to dedicate and devote my whole life to you. Can you raise your hand now and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord. I want to do kingdom's business. I want to live for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer. Let's pray it out loud. Let's pray together as a family. Just repeat after me and really mean it from your heart. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you.
I
believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
Died for me on the cross.
On the third day. He rose again.
He
lives in my heart.
He lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But
your word says.
I confess of my sins.
You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself. So that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him.
And
I live for him only.
Father God,
write my name
in
your book of life.
For
I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's give him glory.
Yes. Thank you.
today in the presence of God. Please join us for refreshments in the back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. From home, all blessings flow.